أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. Last night we talked about the verse فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. And we tried to explain some very important points regarding this particular verse. I had told you earlier that inshallah we'll be talking about the crux and the main cream of what is in Ziyarat Ashura in short, because we have hardly covered a small section of Ziyarat Ashura, and because we would like to conclude, so inshallah we will apportion one session for this particular thing. Inshallah, that is hopefully tomorrow in the afternoon or tomorrow night, whereby you'll come to realize that what is the cream and what is the crux of the whole ziyarah. And when a person realizes that, then he would really feel like emulating and epitomizing himself according to that ziyarat, trying to personify himself with that ziyarah. So we say that this fa here is fa al-tafri'. The previous verse was talking about the musiba and raziya, that is the loss of the dear ones of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and loss in general. That was a calamity that befell Imam Husayn alayhi salam, and that was very difficult for the inhabitants of the earth as well as the inhabitants of the heaven. Thereafter we said, because all this happened, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ. This is the reason why we try to execrate and do la'an on such people. Now the first la'an that we do is أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ. That community and those people who formed the foundation of dhulm. And as I said, dhulm is not to put something in its right place. And jawr is to deviate from the right path. Alright? Therefore, those who formed the foundation of going astray were, as I mentioned, the first three caliphs, and specifically in that riwayah that I mentioned, the first two caliphs, who formed the foundation of all the masaib that transpired against the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam throughout their lives. This is how Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam explained, as I mentioned the riwayah yesterday. In fact, if you go and see the last moments of Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, is also very sorrowful and thought-provoking as well. Many of us, when we try to remember her, we try to remember the difficulties she incurred. For example, she lost Hazrat Muhsin Salamullah Alayh, and Fadak was taken away from her, and some of the calamities that befell on her after the demise of the Holy Prophet. And perhaps some of our laymen may conjecture, perhaps they may conjecture, that Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam's incessant weeping was because of these particular things, these material aspects. But let us ask Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam personally, that what led you to incessantly weep after the demise of your father? Once Ummu Salama alayha salam asks Bi Fatima Zahra alayha salam, كيف أصبحت يا بنت رسول الله? How did you confront your mourning, O the daughter of the Holy Prophet? And she said, أصبحت بين كمدي وكرب فقد النبي وظلم الوصي هتك والله حجابه. This is the response. That there are two factors which make me incessantly weep. One is, see, even the wording that she uses is very interesting. فَقْدُ النَّبِي. She also doesn't say فَقْدُ أَبِي, because if it would be فَقْدُ أَبِي, then we would think that it's a filial relationship that is pointed here. But she says فَقْدُ النَّبِي, the loss of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose presence is very important. وَظُلْمُ الْوَصِي. She didn't say وَظُلْمُ زَوْجِي. She said ظُلْمُ الْوَصِي. Because what was important is the wasaya and the khilafah. Despite her young age, but she had a very powerful vision that told her what would transpire after this separation of the two main sects, that is Sunni and Shia. You would see that in the course of history, so many other sects came about. So this was the first foundational blow against the Muslim Ummah, which caused so many problems. So much so that person like Mullah Sadra in his Say Asl, as I said yesterday, said that قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمُ السَّقِيفَةِ. He looked at the foundation and the root cause of when did Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, what factors, what were the foundational factors that led to the martyrdom of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And then in that same paragraph you find him saying that قَاتِلُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, saying that it was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari who agreed to arbitrate with Amr bin As and get deceived and thus remove Imam Ali alayhi salam from his position. And this is what led slowly and gradually to the Khawarij getting confused more and more and thus doing what they did. Therefore, the foundational blow was from this place, from Saqifa. And that is what led Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam incessantly weep. There is a very beautiful poem that one of the scholars has mentioned in his book. He says, Sahmun ata min janib Saqifa, an arrow which came from Saqifa. Wa qawsuhu ala yadil khalifa, and the bow was in the hands of the Khalifa. He is the one who threw the arrow, and it reached Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and hit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It came from Saqifa. This is where the foundational blow appeared. This is one important thing that we talked about even last night. Today inshaAllah we'll look at some other important aspects in this same verse. فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَمْ مَقَامِكُمْ. Here the word ummah has been repetitively used. And it's important to know what's the meaning of ummah and whether a person can be a part of an ummah after the time of that ummah has already passed or not. This is very important. If you look at the etymology of Ummah, the lexicographer Al-Isfahani, Raghib Al-Isfahani, in his book Al-Mufradat says that Ummah is that group of people who have something in common, whether it is their religious stance, or whether it is the place they are in, or whether it is the time they are in. And therefore, an Ummah can be a people who belong to a certain time, and an Ummah can also be a people who belong to different times and different ages. But they are united in one thing. That is why when we look at this particular paragraph of Ziyarat Ashura, we should try to think about ourselves, that can we be also from that ummah or not? Because these verses, although they seem particular, but they have a universal import. They deal with each and every epoch until the day of judgment. They relate to us, and this is how the ulama and the great revolutionary people like Imam Khomeini utilized these sentences and knew that it refers to each and every epoch. It's not something that happened in the day of Ashura, so we should try to even remember that only on the day of Ashura. But the other days, it's not that important. No, it relates to us today and every day. Now here, four kinds of curses have been perpetrated. One is, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. And that we have already talked about. That it is cursed be on that ummah who established the foundation of oppression and diversion from you. Now, so whosoever tries to support the teachings of this foundation up to today is from that ummah. So if you say that, no, we should do musamaha and you know, we should have unity among the Sunnis and Shias. And therefore, even if they were to teach their teachings of Khilafah and make it strong in their environment, there is no problem. We should do that. We should support them. Some people try to think that they have got a liberal mind and they are, you know, they think properly and they want to now get out from these particularities and they would like to befriend the others. And thus they said, you know, we are Muslims, we should be united, against the American forces and so on. Yes, we should be united. Unity also has restrictions and limitations. But then, saying that you should support them to teach their teachings to other people, that is wrong. That is making you included in that ummah who formed the foundation of going astray. Because any person who is led to believing, let's say, Sunnism or Wahhabism, which is a branch of Sunnism, and if you look at Sunnis, they also do not know the difference between Wahhabis and Sunnis in some places, especially many of the Sunnis you would find in communities, they are awam, they don't know. You ask them, and I have done this in different instances, you ask them, are you a Hanafite or a Hanbalite? Or they would say, maybe a Hanbali or a Shafi'i or Hanafi. This is for those people who are not aware. I don't want to generalize. There are places, perhaps, where people are aware of their fiqh. But then, the important thing is that you should not support them in propagating their afkar and their message. Even with that pretext that, no, they are our brothers, we should help them. What will they do with their afkar? They would not convince others, no. It's possible that they can convince others and pull them to their creed, which is misleading. And thus, that sin would come to you and you would be from that ummah because you are supporting the foundation. This is one. The second is, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً دَفَعَتْكُمْ أَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ. Curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on that ummah, دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَمْ مَقَامِكُمْ, that took you away from your station. Now, the word دَفَع, if you look at the etymology of دَفَع is not that you came to that station and they removed you. No. Even before you came to that station, they prepared the ground of removing you. And this tells us that before even Imam Ali alayhi salam was to take the caliphate, they had started thinking about who would be the next. And we know what happened in Saqifah. While the Prophet was not feeling well, they had tried together in Saqifah and plotted against Imam Ali alayhi salam and chose whoever they wanted. So dafa is something that even before that person gets a position, he is removed from that position so that he doesn't get the chance to even come. This is the etymology of dafa. You look at the lexicons and you will find that dafa is not like rafa, it before they came. Now, so we say, curse be on that ummah who removed the Ahlul Bayt from their stations of wilaya before its time. Again, the word maqam doesn't necessarily mean, or 100% doesn't mean their spiritual status. No. They had a very high spiritual status. And that can never be removed from them. Because it's not something that can be influenced by other people. It is that imamat, that government that they were entitled to after the Holy Prophet. They were entitled to rule on the Muslim ummah so that the ahkam and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are kept right. And so that they are executed. Not that their spiritual status was taken away from them. No. They maintained their spiritual status. Even at the time of those three who occupied Imam Ali alayhi salam's position. You would find that Imam Ali alayhi salam enjoyed that very exalted station. But then, the problem is that these people are rahmatullah al-wasi'a. They are manifestations of Allah's all-manifesting rahmah. And thus they have got that yearning of emancipating each and every individual of the Muslim ummah to the right path. And that's why you find that Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam incessantly weeping. It's not something which is personal. People think maybe it's because of Fadak or because she lost her son. Yes, it was something which was very difficult to lose a son who was so spiritual, who was from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was from Bi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. But what she was worried is how the Muslim ummah throughout ages would go astray. If you look at the history of Sunnism and Shiaism, you would find so many of our ulamas being killed brutally by the Sunnis. Salahuddin, who has been given a very good name, that he is the one who tried to capture Palestine and take out the Christians. You know the brutalities that were created by Pope Urban II, whereby he brutally killed so many Muslims and Christians and Jews. Mostly Muslims and Jews were killed so much that it is said that at night when they would go to the church or when they would go near the mosque, it was a pool of blood and they would thank God. Oh God, thank you so that because you have made us victorious against the enemies of religion. This is what they did. This was their position. And then when Salahuddin took over, they started venerating Salahuddin. But Salahuddin is the same one who tried to brutally kill the Shias, if you look at history. And many other epochs of history, you will find that the Shias were maltreated. They had to go through a very big problem. You look at Shahidul Awwal and Shahidul Thani, their life histories, and you would find that the way they were treated by Sunnis. And not only that, but today you will find that even the governments today, I don't want to specifically name a Muslim government, but even apart from the Islamic Republic of Iran, even the governments today, if you look at the origin of how they have become puppets of America and what led or what facilitated them to be what they are, you would come to realize that that returns to Saqif 100%. And that is why, see, you find that the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam really weeping for this incident. And the third curse we say, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكُمْ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُمَهِّدِينَ لَهُمْ بِالتَّمْكِينِ مِنْ قِتَالِكُمْ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكُمْ. And curse of Allah be to that community or that qawm who killed you. Now, can a person at this epoch also kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his followers? Yes, it's possible. Because you would find that we are taught that killing is not only by swords, it's even by words. A very good example is when you go to the ziyarah, for the ziyarat of Imam Ali Rida alayhi salam, There is a statement you say at the end of ziyara which is very important, very interesting. Recite a salawat. You say, Sallallahu alayka ya Aba al-Hasan, Sallallahu ala ruhika wa badanik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings be upon your spirit and your body. Sabarta, you are patient, wa anta sadiqul musaddaq, and you were truthful, and people verified your stance. La'anallahu man qatalak. May Allah's curse be upon the one who killed you. Bil aidi wal alsun, with hands and with tongues as well. And therefore today, if a person tries, instead of supporting the religion of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, going against the religion of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, whether it is by words or by hands or by actions, then he is also included from those people who are known as qatalakum. And that is why you will find that even there are some riwayat that say that some of the ancestors, some of the grandsons from the grandsons of those people who participated in the killing of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, they would be killed by the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Why? Just because they were from their lineage? No. Because they had the same stance as the 12th Holy Imam, as their forefathers had with regard to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They have the same stance. And that is why they'll be killed. Not that they don't have the same stance. No, they have the same stance. That they are going to, if they were to fight, they would really fight against the 12th Holy Imam ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. Recite a salawat, please. One of the things that is important to mention here is about curse itself. We also mentioned something about curse last night, but today I would like to give you something interesting. You'll find that many of the commentaries of Ziyarat Ashura have this point, that Abu Hamid Ghazali says that, you know, why try to do give curses against Yazid, you know. Maybe he has done tawbah before he died. If you look at the commentators of Ziyarat Ashura, they really go against, they are very critical against this statement of Abu Hamid Ghazali. And I think that is, Abu Hamid Ghazali's statement is out of ignorance. You should not just try to, you know, with your caustic words go against him and even brand him as a non-believer or a person who is an enemy of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. No. In fact, in some of his works you even find that he knew the truth, and perhaps he had already even believed in the truth. If you look at his book Sirrul Alameen, this book Sirrul Alameen is about the Holy Prophet, and he has different discussions on that. Once upon a time, I heard about this book and I said that I should get this book because I heard, in fact, I saw this statement of Abu Hamid Ghazali written in one of the books written by a Shia about Ghadir. And I said that it's very clear that Abu Hamid Ghazali says that Imam Ali alayhi salam was chosen as the wali and the successor of the Holy Prophet. He clearly writes that. Then, ثُمَّ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُمْ, he refers to these three caliphs, that the Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman's hawa and selfishness and selfish desire overpowered them, and that is why they took the positions. Now this is something that I thought maybe it was written once upon a time, it's not being printed now, because these statements, if you look at many of the books printed of our brothers, Sunni brothers, you'll find that there are many changes. Even the Sahih al-Bukhari, if you look at the history of Sahih Bukhari, you'll find so many changes, because there are some statements written in Sahih Bukhari which can even not be uttered in this majlis. There are things which are not according to the 12th, to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His sha'an and his manzila is far higher than what they speak about him. And even about the caliphs, there are some things which are mentioned that clearly say that they were not caliphs. And therefore slowly and gradually you would find that these were deleted from the different versions that came about. So I thought that Sirrul Alameen also doesn't exist. But alhamdulillah, it does have the same statement of Ghazali, and it is being still printed, the same version. I clearly found the statement that غَلَبَ هَوَاؤُهَا هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثَ. These three people were overtaken by their selfish desires, and that is why they took the caliphate. And therefore, so he says that perhaps Yazid has done tawbah. But the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, by telling us to do la'an, clearly tell us that Yazid, number one, didn't do tawbah, or didn't have the capability and dharfiyah and isti'dad of doing tawbah, because you need to have a certain capability to do tawbah. And secondly, you know, a time comes when you have done a lot of dhulm that your hearts become black. Sawa'un أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whether you are to give them, whether you are to warn them or warn them not, they are not going to believe. They are in that station. And therefore, this was the station of Yazid. You see, they start quoting and saying that, you see, at the time of the Holy Prophet in Uhud, when the Kuffar started attacking the Holy Prophet and he started bleeding, and the Ashab really were disturbed and said that لَوْ دَعَوْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, why don't you execrate and curse these people? And the Prophet said, لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانًا إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I was not sent as an execrator and a person to do a lot of la'nat. Rather, I was sent as a rahmah, a mercy for all, and da'iyan إِلَى اللَّهِ. Then he says, اللهم اهد هؤلاء فإنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide these people because they don't know. This is with regard to those people who don't know. But those people who know the truth, and despite knowing the truth, they go against the truth. These are those people who are سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Or in the other words, summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarji'un. Fahum la yarji'un. They are not going to return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said. You find that from the onset, the a'imma alayhimu salam clearly tell us that who is who. So this statement of Ghazali is a bit funny, you know. We should not take this statement that, and even, but we should not be also very caustic against Abu Hamid Ghazali, who has also done a good job in terms of many other things. I don't want to say that whatever he has written is correct. No, there are things which are very beautiful that he has written. You find even our great scholars like Mullah Sadra and others praising him at such some positions, because he really contributed to some of the things that we have. But then this thing of his is something funny, and it's out of ignorance, I think. Therefore we should not take into consideration. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُمَهِّدِينَ لَهُمْ بِالتَّمْكِينِ مِنْ قِتَالِكُمْ. And the curse, may Allah's curse be upon those people who facilitated them to go against you and to fight against you. There are people who facilitated. So any person who facilitated in any way whatsoever is responsible. And that is why even today we do have a stance which is Yazidi, and we do have a stance which is Husayni. If you were to support the Yazidi stance in any way, you facilitate anything, then you are responsible. Sometimes, of course, it's out of ignorance, but sometimes it is intentional. I'll give you a very good example. And this is taken lightly by some of our brothers, but it should not be taken lightly. And this is, for example, today Our brothers in Palestine are being brutally massacred and killed and tortured. An infinitesimal amount of information is reaching us of what transpires there. An infinitesimal amount of information. Even what reached us from Abu Ghuraib, the prisons, was infinitesimal. If you go more deep, you would find that they did even more than that. But they didn't want to take out more, because if they would take out more, then it would cause a hue and cry. But today we find the Palestinians massacred. They are people who own factories and companies which belong to the Jews. And it is clear, their products are being sold throughout the world. Our duty is not to buy them and not to support such products. Because if we try to buy them and support, then we are doing this tahiyya and we are facilitating for that qital which is against innocent Muslims. What is surprising is that in one of the functions which was held about Quds Day in one of the African countries, in the holy month of Ramadan, I was there in one of the African countries, and a certain place celebrated or commemorated the Quds Day and said, today is Quds Day, we must talk against Israel. And a lot of speakers came and talked against Israel. And then we were served Coca-Cola. At the end, we were served Coca-Cola. If an influential personality was there and he had the guts, he would come and throw the Coca-Cola bottle down and say, this is not what we are for here. We are supporting them. And many other such companies, just because we love eating Kit Kat and Chunky and so on, we have to support Nestle. Indirectly. If we support these companies because of our small, small necessities, even that is not a necessity, if you go and see in the literal sense, then we are facilitating the qital. That's 100%. In Hajj, another example, this time when I was in Hajj, in a place where it was propagated against these companies, there was a newspaper that broadcasted clearly that these are the companies which are Jewish. They are the ones who are serving Sprite and Coca-Cola there in the tables. It's not only jahl, now this is intentional. Because jahl has a martaba, now you come and you propagate and you serve. This is not good. And it applies to us also here, wherever we are. We see these products. We think, no, it's makruh. Some of the ulama say it's makruh. Some of them say it's... But what does your conscience say? Your conscience says it's haram. Because you, by buying that, are encouraging him to even get more from Dubai. These products come from Dubai and other places, Turkey and so on. So you are trying to encourage them. So this is the practical import of this verse. That by fighting against these Jews, you are practically saying that, Ya Hussein, I am with you. Even today I am with you. But by buying these products, you are trying to tell the Yazid part of your soul that I am with you. Although I am not saying it literally that I am with you, but I am with you. So we should try to look at not only the economic side. This is just an economic side. Look at the political side. The systems that we employ, the Western systems, they should be changed. Many of the systems that we employ within our countries are Western. Islam has answers to those systems. You should try to dig on those systems. Try to find out and not try to ape them. Because we do have such systems. Great scholars like Ayatollah Shaheed Baqir al-Sadr came with Iqtisaduna, Falsafatuna and other books. And even our great scholars have come up with masterpieces in these things. We should try to implement these things. So that we are not with them. Of course, there are limitations and there are conditions here and there. I don't want to talk about this in detail, but it's our duty today. That are we with them or are we with إمام الحسين عليه السلام. رسالة الصلوات بليز. These verses that I have mentioned, I'm going very fast. I have not discussed in detail. Inshallah, after the 12 days on those Fridays, inshallah, we'll talk about these in detail. I'm just passing through them because now we have very little time remaining. But this sentence is important now. This is the last sentence that we are talking about. Then I'll look at some masaib and then Sayyid will come and give us some masaib about the tragedy of Karbala. We say, بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. The word بَرِئَ, بَرِئْتُ, is that I am going away. بَرِئْتُ is I am going away from imperfection. This بَرِئَ, التَّبَاعُدْ عَنِ النَّقْصِ, that is the etymology of بَرِئَ. التباعد عن النقص. So when we say بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, as we get far from the supporters of Imam Hussein عليه السلام, we get near to Allah. And that is why we say بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُمْ, from the kuffar, from those supporters of Yazid. وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ, and from their Shias. As I said, Shia is from that شُيُوع. A Shia is not only a person who is following. Each and every step of his is spreading the message of Shiaism. That's a Shia. That is spreading. Wherever he is spreading the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ is that while I am getting near to Allah and to you, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, I am getting far. مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ, from the kuffar, from those people I have already done la'nat on. And this is sayr and suluk. Because when, as you go towards Allah and towards the characteristics of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you go away from imperfections and from hasad and from all these bad characteristics that Yazid and his followers had. This is bara'ah. Bara'ah is not something that is, you know, to one personality because he is a human being. As I said, that the human being have a fitrah, fitrat Allah, allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha, fatara an-nasa 'alayha. All of the human beings have. This is something else. This is going against the deeds. Yazid, we hate Yazid because of his deeds. And he is the epitome of his deeds. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. As I mentioned, he himself is the amal. He is himself is the ideas and the deeds. And therefore, when we say بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, we are literally saying that as I am coming out from naqs and deficiencies, I am going towards kamal and perfection. Because it is the manba and the source of kamal and perfection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. أتباع is a person who follows somebody's footsteps. This is أتباع. And therefore, whosoever follows the footsteps of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, then he is not from this أتباع. But whosoever follows the footsteps of Yazid, then again, we also say, بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ. Even today, with the extensions that we have today, that if we have Yazidi kinds of extensions today within our community, who tell themselves as Shias, who show themselves as Shias, but they are munafiqs in literally, and they are with Yazid, then بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِمْ, and those who are near them, who are supported by them, who are their guardians. Of course, there is one thing that you should not be confused, that let's say if a person is sinful and has some of the characteristics of Yazid. For example, he is sinful, and because he is sinful, then he is in one way united with the Yazidi character. But his heart is not blurred and blacked in such a manner that he cannot change. It's not that. So you ask hidayat for him. The great Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, in one of his lectures, after concluding his lecture, said something very nice. He said, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, curse be upon those people whom you know will never get guided. But those people who do have the capacity of being guided, then guide them, because they do have the receptivity." And this is what the call of the Holy Prophet and the other prophets are. That فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, because they don't know, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not cursing them." Recite the salawat, please. I don't want to read the entire maqtal. In short, some recite the maqtal of Hazrat Abbas salamullah alayh tonight, and some talk about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and how he was brutally martyred. We know that, like today, that is the 9th of Muharram, Umar bin Sa'd, after having made the resolution of fighting against Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam just because he would get ray, told his companions that, "Start attacking now." And Imam Hussein alayhi salam sends Hazrat Abbas salamullah alayhi that you go and avert them from the qatl. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنِّي لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةِ وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I love praying and reciting His book. You know, these two points which Imam Hussein alayhi salam mentions is so beautiful and so apt, because in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. For a muslih, for a real reformer, he has two characteristics. One is that he safeguards the book, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةِ وَتِلَاوَةَ كِتَابِهِ, reading the book and safeguarding the book. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, and safeguarding prayer as well. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam mentions these two things to Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, telling that, "Tell them not to start now, give us opportunity, tomorrow inshaAllah we will fight." And in one of the histories it is written that at that night, لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍ النَّحْلِ, they had, their situation was such that everybody was in the state of ibadah, some of them were in the state of ruku, some of them were in the state of sujood, some of them were reciting Quran, some of them were doing tawbah. This was the situation that embraced this Imam Hussein alayhi salam's camp. And that is why it is said, even tonight, ta'assiyan bil Hussein alayhi salam, we should also try to at least wake up a part of the night and try to remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and try to even recite Quran and give hadiyah to him, and recite prayers, and even not miss the Salatul Layl, which Imam Hussein alayhi salam also prayed. You have heard of what transpired on the plains of Karbala, because from the first, Mawlana Sahib was giving you the details. I'm going to talk about the very last moments of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he had been struck with so many arrows that people thought that he was now unconscious and he was nearly to die. In that state, it is said, some of the Maqatil write, that now Umar bin Sa'd ordered that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam should be beheaded. As he ordered, many people were saying, you go, because they were not able to go to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and do this wicked deed, this worst deed that the mind can even not comprehend. Everyone would say, "No, you go, you go." In some history it is written that 3 hours it took before Shimr goes and sits on Imam Hussein alayhi salam's chest. And when he sits on Imam Hussein alayhi salam's chest, Imam Hussein alayhi salam wakes up and says, "Ya waylak, man anta faqad irtaqayta murtaqan azeema, Woe be upon you. Who are you? Because you have sat on a place which is so exalted. فَقَالَ هُوَ الشِّمْرُ فَقَالَ هُوَ الشِّمْرُ There was a person near him saying that this is Shimr. فَقَالَ لَهُ وَيْلَكْ مَنْ أَنَا Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks Shimr that now that you know that I know that who you are, now I am asking you, who am I? فَقَالَ أَنْتَ الْحُسَيْنِ بِنْ عَلِيِّ بِنْ فَاطِمَةُ الزَّهْرَى وَجَدُّكَ مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى So Shimr with all his stupidity said, you are Hussein bin Ali bin Fatima al-Zahra and your grandfather was the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa. فقال الحسين عليه السلام ويلك إذا عرفت هذا حسبي ونسبي فلما تقتلني Said, woe be upon you, if you know this is my lineage, then why do you kill me? فقال الشمر إن لم أقتلك فمن يأخذ الجائزة من يزيد Shimr was in such a worse state that he had forgotten the Akhirah completely and said, that if I don't kill you, then who is going to get the present from Yazid? فقال عليه السلام أيما أحب إليك الجائزة من يزيد أو شفاعة جد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Imam Hussein عليه السلام asks him that which is more lovable to you? Is it the present that you will get from Yazid or the intercession of my grandfather the Holy Prophet? فقال اللعين دانق من الجائزة أحب إلي منك ومن جدك This was the destitute state of Shimr. He said that a small portion of the present is more lovable to me than you and your grandfather. وَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِذَا كَانَ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ قَتْلِي فَاسْقِدِي شُرْبَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, if you really want to kill me and now you have taken that resolution, then give me a bit of water at least. فقال له هيهات والله لا ذقت قطرة واحدة من الماء حتى تذوق الموت غصة بعد غصة. Shimr says, it is far, I swear by Allah, you will not even taste a portion of water until you meet death. فقال ويلك اكشف لي عن وجهك وبطنك. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, woe be upon you, show me your stomach and your throat so that I can see who you are. فَكَشَفَ لَهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ أَبْقَعَ لَهُ سُورَةٌ تَشْبَهُ الْكِلَابُ وَالْخَنَازِيرُ When he unveiled that, he came to realize that he had a certain ailment that made him have black spots all over. He was like a dog, like dogs and pigs. فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ صَدَقَ جَدِّي فِي مَا قَالَ Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that really my grandfather had said the truth. فَقَالَ وَمَا قَالَ جَدُّكَ This la'in says, and what did your grandfather say? Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, يَقُولُ لِأَبِي يَا عَلِي يُقْتَلْ وَلَدُكَ هَذَا يقتل ولدك هذا رجل أبقع أبرص أشبه الخلق بالكلاب والخنازير The Holy Prophet told Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, your son will be killed by a person who would resemble dogs and pigs. فغضب الشمر من ذلك وقال تشبهني بالكلاب والخنازير فوالله لأذبحنك من قفاك Shimr gets angry and says, You liken me with dogs and pigs. I swear by Allah, I am going to cut your throat. ثُمَّ قَلَّبَهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ وَجَعَلَ يَقْتَأُ أَوَادِجَهُ رُوحِي لَهُ الْفِدَاءِ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ